This is Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio, where it's our ambition to move beyond simply talking about Christianity to walking more like Christ. This is the Christ who seemed to have love for everyone. In fact, the people who were rejected by society in his time, the marginalized, it might have been the tax collector, the adulteress, it might have been someone in our day who would be considered a drunkard or a terrorist. Who knows? God loves the world, we're told in Scripture, and so should we if we want to be like him. He gave it to us in parables like the Good Samaritan story, but he gives it to us through lives and testimonies. And today we have with us a guest who really knows what it is to love those who might be considered enemies at times, Dr. Homoz Shariat. He is the director and founder of a ministry called Iran Alive. And what a fantastic ministry it is. We've had him on before. And Homoz, thank you for coming on again.
Thank you so much. I appreciate giving me a chance to share what God is doing. It's an amazing thing, an amazing role. Good and bad, all mixed.
Remind people, just there are probably many listeners who've not heard your story. If you don't mind, help us to connect with you a little bit in your story. Tell us how it is you got involved in this ministry, a little bit about your background growing up in the Middle East and such.
Briefly, I want to share, but I'm going to share a little bit about why I started this ministry, loving Muslims especially. I was born as a Muslim in Iran. I was pretty much devout in my younger years, but in the teenage years, I said, repeating these prayers doesn't make sense. Just be a good person. And I pursued science, so I was a good student in Iran, and I came to U.S. I went to University of Southern California to get a PhD in artificial intelligence. And I was there when I started thinking, maybe there is God, and maybe I'm ignoring it because Islam is the way and Islam is taking over the world. God must be there. God must be with it. Maybe I missed something when I was younger. That led me to study Quran more carefully. And then after Quran, I said, out of my pride, out of my scientific pride, I said, I'm going to read the Bible also so I can tell people. I read them. So I got a Bible and I read the Genesis and jumped to Matthew, New Testament. And that's when my journey started. I could not agree with it. I could not reject it. Who is this Jesus? This is not a prophet. And so after a few months of struggle, I realized how simple the message of the gospel is, that even a child can understand. As a scientist, I was making it too complicated. I realized, so simple. You're a sinner. You cannot reach God. God loves you, and he reached out to you. I mean, that cannot be as simple as this. So that's what that transformed my life, and I started sharing the gospel. Now, there was one event, Bill, that really launched me in the ministry. I had a heart to share the gospel, but not this. It's when my younger brother was arrested in Iran. He was 16 years old. Not a Christian, on minor political charges. And they kept him in jail for 2 years. They told my family and my mom, oh, he's doing fine. He's doing fine. We're gonna set him free very soon. Don't worry. And then when he turned 18, one day they called my mom and said, come and take his body. We just executed him. And by the way, my mom had to pay for the bullets. She had to pay for the killing of her son. They charged her. So that I was a new believer, and I was just went through some crisis. I said, God, where are you? This is not fair. This is not fair. I felt like a revenge. I was angry. I was hateful. As a new believer, I said, God, I want to take revenge. And then I realized, no, God says, revenge is mine. Then I said, God, okay, I can't take revenge, but I hate him. I hate him. And I realized God says, no, you cannot hate them. You are called to even love your enemies. I said, okay, God, I can't hate them. Okay, I'm angry. I'm angry. I'm really angry. And then I realized, Sermon on the Mount, you cannot even be angry, because if you're angry, you've already committed murder in your heart. So I was struggling. What can I do? Just to be funny, I kind of said, God, can I at least cuss at them so I can feel better? But I realized you can't even do that as a Christian. You can't worship God with your mouth and then, you know, cut at people and curse people. So that's when I felt that a matter of a few days of prayer, God told me, and this is the message, one main message for me today is this. Through those few days, I felt God is saying this. Those Muslims who killed your brother, they are not the enemies. They're victims in the hands of our enemies. You have only one enemy. It's Satan. And these are captives in the hands of the enemy. And God loves them. And he died for them. He wants them to be set free from this bondage. So number one, you have one enemy, that's Satan. Number two, love your enemies. Love Muslims. Look at them, not the ones who are bringing injustice. There is a great injustice on them. They are captives in the hands of enemy, and they're going to be destroyed forever. They're going to hell. So that's when I committed my life. That's when I said, God, I commit my life to loving Muslims. I don't hate them. I love them because you love them. And I commit to sharing the gospel with them. Would you use me? I was a new believer. Would you use me to in my lifetime that I bring 1 million Muslims to Christ? And by his grace, he's doing it. He's, if not already done, but he's doing it. Wow. So loving Muslims is my call.
So you mentioned he's doing it, and what a wonderful story of Iran Alive, the ministry that you've been involved in. In Iran, you can describe to us now, I know that the church, the true church, the evangelical, the real believing church is just mushrooming in ways that would shock someone who's not aware. Tell us a little more about the situation there.
Well, not many people know what's happening. And if we don't know, how can we pray? How can we get involved? We get our information from the media, which is very biased. What is happening in the Middle East is amazing. There are pockets of openness to the gospel among Muslims, refugees, for example. But when you get to Iran, it's something very special, supernatural special. And the research, independent research, has shown that Iran has the fastest, are you ready for that? Fastest evangelical population in the world. Iran, by millions, Iranians have rejected Islam already. When I share the gospel with them, I don't need to even talk about Islam. Islam, it's done. The rejection is so wide and so deep that I can boldly say Iran will never be an Islamic nation again. And it's not even now. The rejection is so wide and it's growing fast that I cannot call Iran as a nation. I don't call them Islamic. Because the government is Islamic, but millions have not just rejected Islam, they are militant. I mean, I read more and more in the blogs of Muslims or nominal Muslims in Iran by millions. This is what they're saying. They used to say Islam has some problems. And then later they said, Islam is not for me. But do you know what they're saying today, Dr. Campbell? If people of Iran today are saying this, and I have proofs, I have videos, they're saying this, if we want to have a future for our country, we need to get rid of Islam. They're becoming militant against Islam. The Iranians are coming to believe that we have to eradicate Islam from our country if we want to have a future. That's something very supernatural. There's no Islamic country in the world even close to that. The rejection of Islam is supernatural, is unique. Iran is unique. The rejection is unique. The number of Muslims coming to Christ, the openness, the hunger, the passion is unique. And when they come to Christ, and these are not my words. I talk to missionaries, American missionaries, Korean missionaries who work among Iranians. You know what they tell me? They say the passion we see in the new believers among Iranians, the passion for Christ, the passion to love God, and the passion to share the gospel, they say we have never seen anywhere before. And another supernatural is visions, dreams, miracles God is doing, and he's doing his part. So something supernatural and unique is happening in Iran. We need to, number one, have the heart of God. And may I share, I think that's our problem in the West. We need to, number one, pray and say, God, would you give us your heart? The heart of God for Muslims is love. God's heart for Muslims is aching. Don't you think he cares for 1.8 billion population going to hell without the gospel? Don't you think he loves them and he died for them? And we need to receive God's heart. So don't start me on that, because I can talk about it for a long time.
Wow. So it might be said, tell me if this is accurate, that the oppressive government in Iran, it's not just the gospel is growing despite it. In some ways, it might be because of it.
Exactly. As I said, Iran is so unique. Even in the persecution, there's nothing like that in the world. Number one, persecution, as you shared, is a reaction to church growth. The persecution in Iran is not by people, unlike any other Islamic country. Any Islamic country, when somebody comes to Christ, persecution comes from friends and family members. The honor killing is there, not in Iran. Iran, Christianity has a very positive connotation and meaning. When somebody comes to Christ, usually the whole family comes to Christ. So number one, persecution in Iran is a reaction to church growth. Number two, it is by the government. It's not by the people. Number three, even by the government, it's not religiously motivated. It's politically motivated. What I mean is this. The government is not saying, why did they betray Islam? Let's protect Islam. Let's force them to come back to Islam. No, they don't care about Islam, even at the government level. What they care is about power. They are saying, those who become Christians, we are losing control over their hearts and minds and souls. So we are losing power. That's one reason, Dr. Campbell, they look at the government of Iran, look at me as an enemy. And I asked one of the, a high court judge came to Christ. You know, listeners may not know, we do a 24/7 broadcast, satellite broadcast into Iran, and we take the gospel every day into every home in Iran. By the way, when I say Christian broadcast, you may think Western Christian broadcast, and you may not have a positive idea about it. You may think I'm a televangelist. I'm not. I'm not a televangelist. I'm a pastor, and we're using television to share the gospel. So it goes to every home, the home of the powerful and the powerless. And people in the government are coming to Christ, as well as desperate people. And here is the story. A high court judge came to Christ, and I asked him, what does the government of Iran think about us? He said two things. He said, number one, they don't know what to do with you. Because I asked him, why are they our enemies? Why do they jam? Why do they threaten me? I'm not saying anything against the government. I'm praying for them on the air. I'm not politically motivated. And he said two things. Number one, they don't know what to do with you because you're undermining their power. And there's a saying in Farsi. It says, it's a proverb saying, cutting somebody's head with a cutting blade. It's a saying, means killing you softly kind of thing. Okay. He said, you are killing them with your love. Number two, they're afraid of you. I said, what? Why are they afraid of me? I'm not doing anything. He said, they're not afraid of you now, but because there are millions of hearts being connected to Jesus and to you as their pastor, it gives you a base of power that any time that you may turn to become political, you have millions of followings. They're afraid of you. So God is at work. There are millions who have come to Christ. They're connected to us. And it is our responsibility not just to evangelize, but to help the church in Iran. There are 2 to 3 million believers in Iran right now.
Fastest growing evangelical Christian population in the world. It's an incredible story. We're going to be right back after this break.
Scripture Awakening. Awakening the world to the power of God's Word. Read B90, study B-Next, and live beyond. Read B90. Bible in 90 Days provides a panoramic view of the sweeping story of God's Word. Almost 250,000 people worldwide have read through the Bible from cover to cover using Bible in 90 days. Study B-Next. B-Next is a natural next step after reading B-90. B-Next Bible studies are available in digital and print formats, and now the corresponding Amazing Journey video series. Live Beyond. Beyond Words radio satellite broadcast and podcast feature insightful interviews from a wide range of Christian leaders that will both inform and inspire. Move beyond just talking about your faith to living it.
Welcome back to Beyond Words Radio. This is Bill Campbell. So glad you're with us today. And we have as guest Dr. Hormoz Shiarat. He's director of Iran Alive Ministries. And we've been talking about his story and about what's happening in Iran today. It's an amazing thing. And I want to, Dr. Shiarat, give them the text where they can quickly dial in and get connection to learn more about the ministry. Friends, if you will text these numbers, 74784, and just punch in the word Iran, I-R-A-N. You'll get all the connection you need. Number again, 74784 on your text, and write in the word Iran. And there you will get links to the ministry and information that helps you go forward. How long has Iran Alive Ministries been functioning?
When I came to Christ, I started evangelizing and planting churches. And eventually the Lord called me out of, you know, science and into ministry. That's years ago. After 11 years of doing research on AI, artificial intelligence, started churches and it grew. So a lot of my work and ministry has been planting churches. We planted several churches in Northern California. Hmm. But it was after September 11 that I felt this is the time to go to Iran. We bought 1 hour a week of airtime from a secular channel. So it was December 2001, right after September 11. That's when we started the ministry, broadcasted. And from day one, we saw many Muslims come to Christ, and it has not ceased. Hundreds of thousands have come to Christ. We have the names of over 35,000 Muslims who have come to Christ. And many come to Christ, but they cannot contact us because we're blocked. Our phone numbers are blocked. Our websites are blocked. They're afraid. So I believe when I say those numbers, may I be just frank with you, when I say those numbers, I grieve. I'm not happy. When I say we have 800 underground house churches right now, you're feeding, we're leading, and we have 35,000 registered who have come to Christ. I'm not saying it proudly. I'm not even happy about it. I'm sad because I know what's happening in Iran. I know that 35,000 can be 35 million or 3.5 million easily. I know we are just scratching the surface. And I want the listeners, would you pray? Iran is a gateway to the Middle East. They are open. We can make history together. You say how? In addition to evangelism, there are 2 to 3 million believers in Iran. Just imagine. Would you imagine with me? There are 2 to 3 million believers in Iran with no church. There is no building churches. There are very few house churches. These are prisoners in their homes. They are not growing in faith, and they are not being active for the Lord. What would happen if we all joined together? Just forget about evangelism for now. Just help these 3 million believers be equipped, be activated, be mobilized to serve the Lord. I believe Iran and the Middle East will be transformed. That's my challenge to the church in the West. Very specific. Let us join together to equip the brothers and sisters in Iran, 2 to 3 million believers. Do you know number one request we get from those believers from Iran? They've come to Christ. They tell us, please, please, teach us. Teach us the Bible. Teach us this systematically. Help us, equip us so we can share the gospel. We can preach. We can show. So they are crying out, the believers in Iran, would you help us grow and be equipped? And that's the challenge before us.
What a wonderful challenge. Incredible. It's hard sometimes as Westerners to understand why so many people in the Middle East, often of Muslim persuasion, are coming to faith in Christ through dreams and visions. But this is tied some to the way they understand reality in the spiritual world based on their upbringing, is it not?
Exactly. The hunger is supernatural. We talk about supernatural. Of course, Jesus graciously is appearing to them. Visions, dreams, miracles are so common there. But the supernatural is their hunger for the love of God, for the truth. And another supernatural is when they come to Christ with no resources, no church, no pastor, no, even not sometimes no Bible. They have this desire to study, to know, to grow. That God has put that in their hearts. The hunger after they come to Christ, the hunger for growth, for ministry. They're ready to minister. That's a supernatural. We talk about supernatural. These are all supernatural. It's not a natural to man to be ready to live for Jesus and die for Jesus. And these people, many of them, are ready to live and die for Jesus. That's supernatural. We humans don't have it in ourselves until God works that in us.
Yeah. Oh, it's so great. And so you urge us to pray, and that is the real start point. It's amazing to think, I know of many missionaries who've gone into the Middle East and worked, labored all their lives and seen very little fruit. And now things are just breaking open wide. Would it be accurate to say that in general, in the Muslim world, that Iran is maybe leading the way, but it's a reflection of what's happening all over the place, that people are becoming disillusioned, governments that are so oppressive, spawning terrorism, hurting other people, that they're turning away, they're looking for answers?
That's true. You know, Islam is being shown to them in practice. ISIS, in a way, did a favor to show them the true face of Islam. Iran is the only country that is led by clergy, and that's about 40 years. For example, in Iran, the government said, this is Islam, and we implement it. So the people of Iran say, we tried Islam, and we tried it for 40 years, and it doesn't work. So this illusionment is, once it happens, is because they saw the true meaning of Islam in practice. When Islam is just a theory, it's just in the books, they have this romantic view of Islam, Muslims, then they stick to it. But when they see it in practice, like Iran, like ISIS, and some countries, then they realize there's something fundamentally wrong with Islam itself. That helps them to start questioning. By the way, questioning Islam is a breakthrough. Muslims are not allowed to think or question Islam. So when they start questioning, maybe there is something wrong with Islam, we should know this is a supernatural breakthrough.
Well, it's fantastic. Help the listener to understand, here in the West, we tend to think, well, there are many ways to heaven, and many people would think Islam, it's another religion, another way to God, and they're all kind of the same, just different labels, different words. Is that true, or is there something very different that Christ offers than the other world religions, such as the Muslim faith?
The foundation is the spiritual, of course. We as Christians, we know that foundation of everything is spiritual. But Islam is not just a religion. Islam, before it is a religion, it's a political system. You see Muhammad, before he talks about Allah, before he brings the religion of Islam, he starts taking over countries by force and attacking and killing. Expansion, political expansion of Islam is a part of it. It's not just political, it is not just spiritual, it's a social order by force. Islam, if you're Muslim, you have to conform to not just to the religion, but the political system and the social norms that Islam is teaching you. It is more than a religion. It is more than a religion.
Yes.
Everywhere they go, they are commanded, they're mandated by Quran to take over the world by any means, by force, by violence, or even by deception. That's Quran. That's written in Quran.
I think it's hard for many in America to understand, because you come to America, you find so much freedom, and you can settle in and not live that way. But the world, so much of the world, in the second largest religion under Islam, is under repressive regimes, unlike America. What do you say about this, death to America and Israel movement, the things we see on the news sometimes?
Well, you have another 10 minutes. Another thing happening in Iran, of course, this hatred towards Israel, the hatred towards U.S. has spiritual roots. It has spiritual roots. Why Muslims want to destroy America? Because America right now, even today, is still a light for Christ, still the last stronghold of Jesus Christ. Europe is gone. Europe is weak in that area. Still, America is strong, and these forces, not just from outside, and you know better than me, the forces inside USA want to destroy that heritage, the Christian heritage of U.S. So to answer your question, the root is spiritual, the hatred towards Islam, the hatred towards Jews and Israel, and the hatred towards Christians and U.S. But can I share good news for you? That hatred in Iran is being gone. I see that. Number one, may I shock your listeners? This is shocking, but it's true. There is no country in the world that loves Americans as Iranians do. I can boldly say that. I'm so confident. Iranians love Americans. Number one. they admire Americans. They want to be like Americans. Americans who go to Iran as tourists, they're welcomed so much. They're embraced. They're treated as celebrities and rock stars. But Israel, the hatred towards Israel, even Muslims in Iran, they're questioning because they distrust the government. And when the government says death to Israel, the people of Iran are saying, why should I hate him? Because you tell me? They're questioning that hatred.
Hmm.
And there is one, I'm going to put that as a link. It's not in that link, but I have a clip. I got it 2-3 weeks ago. The government of Iran has a rally. You know, there was protest in Iran for the last 2-3 months. So the government of Iran set up its own rallies with its own people, which is their employees and their families who are forced to come on the streets. Amazing, this video. The government has a rally. This crowd is walking down the street. And one of the government officials are saying a slogan in a loudspeaker, okay? And the people are supposed to repeat it, right? This is what it is. And the government guy on the loudspeaker, he's saying, death to America. And you know what the people respond?
No.
They say, death to Russia, because Russia is an ally with the government. And the person, the government person, death to Israel. And the people respond, death to Russia. Again, death to America. They respond, death to Russia. They don't say death to America. They love America. They say, you can force us to come on the streets, but you cannot force us to say death to America. That's what they're saying.
Well, that's fantastic. Our time's run out, but not our interest. And if you're like me, you want to learn more, I encourage you, just text the number 74784 and then type in the word Iran, I-R-A-N. Dr. Sherritt, thank you so much for filling us in, catching us up a little bit. And may we all continue to support with our prayers and finance in whatever way God leads. Your ministry is very significant, and we thank God for you.
I appreciate that, Dr. Campbell, for allowing me to share. God bless.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. And if you'd like to help support this ministry, or if you'd like to know more about Beyond Words, visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com.